Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. Bandwidth for the Tech Guy is provided by CacheFly. CacheFly.com. Hi, this is Leo Laporte, and this is my Tech Guy podcast. This show originally aired on the Premier Radio Networks, including 200 of the best stations in the U.S. and Canada, and XM 244, on Sunday, May 19th, 2013. This is episode 980. Enjoy. The Tech Guy podcast is brought to you by ShareFile from Citrix. Send files of almost any size easily and securely with ShareFile. Try it today for 30 days free. Go to ShareFile.com, click the radio microphone, and enter Tech Guy. And by LegalZoom.com. LegalZoom's not a law firm. LegalZoom provides self-help services at your direction, like affordable business and personal documents you can trust. Visit LegalZoom.com and use the offer code TECHGUY to get $10 off at checkout. And by RingCentral. I love my cloud-based phone system from RingCentral. Zero startup costs, and RingCentral is $20 per month per user. Try it now with a 30-day risk-free trial. And when you buy one desk phone, you'll get a second phone free up to 20 phones. Call 800-543-9980 or visit ringcentral.com and use our promo code TWIT. And by Gazelle, the fast and simple way to sell your used gadgets. Find out what your used Samsung Galaxy, iPhone, or other smartphone's worth at gazelle.com. Well, hey, hey, hey. How are you today? Leo Laporte here, the Tech Guy. And it's time to talk computers, the internet, home theater, cell phones. Our digital photographer, Chris Marquardt, won't be here today, I'm sorry to say, because he's traveling, but we could talk digital photography, too. I know a little bit about that, too. 8888-ASK-LEO, that's the number, 888-827-5536. Toll-free from anywhere in the U.S., outside the U.S. Just use Skype. It'll still be a toll-free call. 8888-ASK-LEO. So Google had their big event, the Google I.O. It's a developers conference this week. But as a developers conference, you know, it's also a chance for Google, the one chance a year, really, that they get to kind of get a bunch of 5,000 developers and about 500 press together and tell them what they're up to. So it's a great event to see what Google's planning. And my goodness, I feel like we perhaps are entering the future a little quicker than I had thought. One of the things Google talked about is Google Hot Words. That's the hot wording is very interesting. It's essentially, I called it, because I'm an old guy, HAL 9000. They preferred to use Star Trek. It's a couple of years difference. But it's really talking to a computer and having the computer respond. And they had a Google vice president on stage, and she demonstrated it. First of all, there's no key press or anything. It's hands-free. You've got the Google search page up, and you say, okay, Google, and that wakes it up. This might be an issue for some people. I'm curious what you think of it. It means, what that means is Google's listening all the time. The microphone's always on. But it rejects everything, we presume. It rejects everything until it hears, okay, Google. That's the new catchphrase, right? If you wear Google Glass, those glasses, and there were a lot of those in attendance, people wearing glasses. If you're a Google Glass wearer, they have a less kind name for them. I probably can't say it on the radio. I don't know if the FCC has not approved it yet. I don't know. You could tell me. I don't know, Heather. Is it okay to say that word? Do you know the word I'm talking about?
Yeah, I think yeah. So.
Just
go ahead and say it.
Yeah. Easy
well, you
for
can
you
pay
you
the
say.
Fine. I can't. That would be like water from a rock, right? Did you see what Mashable did? They did a really funny video.
Of people wearing glass?
Don't be a glass.
One of those?
Mm-hmm.
I like the gesture. I think people not watching at home missed something.
Don't be a glass.
Don't be one of them. Yeah, I don't want to get in trouble. We'll just pretend we don't know what that word is. So it was people doing stupid things, annoying things people can do.
Right. Like the jerk in the office that's like...
Well, I have to admit, I went into the men's room. This glass thing, okay, you wear them, they're like glasses, but they're not glasses. They're just like the top rim of the glasses, and there's a computer on it. If you tap your temple, It wakes up. It doesn't sound on all the time. But then you could talk to it. And the saying is, in this case, OK, glass. But you can hack this thing so you don't have to tap it and say, OK, glass. You could just wink and it'll take a picture because it could see your eye.
So that's what the guy did in the bathroom in the video.
Yeah. He was like, winking. So I'm in there in the men's room. There's about 20 people. 8 of them are wearing cameras on their head, Google Glass. Not that I don't think anybody wants a picture of me, but it's just not, it's like, I don't know. They say the etiquette will be to put it up on your head, point to the ceiling, but nobody did that.
Okay.
And lots of winking going on, although I could have just been, who knows? They probably weren't taking pictures. It's just creepy.
Do you think it'll change going forward?
No.
Because I can imagine, you know how people have their eyebrow pierced anyway?
Yeah.
It could just be hanging off that
That's
way.
The problem. You can have a camera any number of ways. Oh, you mean the form factor of Google Glass?
Yeah,
oh, yeah,
that'll
be all sorts
over
of ways
your nose
to do it.
And,
yeah, there'll be all sorts of ways to do it. I don't know. Anyway, so that's one catchphrase, OK, Glass. And now with the Google search, you go, OK, Google, you'd probably like this because you're on the phone. You got your computer in front of you. And you just say, OK, Google. And what Joanna did, the Google VP, she said, OK, Google, is there anything going to do in Santa Cruz? Or what could I do in Santa Cruz? And it goes, and it talks back, by the way, very much like a Star Trek computer. Well, there are these 16 things you can do today in Santa Cruz. And then she says, how long will it take to get there?
Oh, yeah.
And it remembers that you were looking at Santa Cruz. So it says, oh, it'll take a couple hours. And here's the traffic. Here's a map. And then, so it's context sensitive. It's kind of aware. It feels like it's an aware computer. And I just thought it was kind of cool. I just thought this I like. I don't like Google Glass. I think that's silly. Because it's a camera on your head. Doesn't have all that much utility. Although, I guess if you could say, okay, show me the way to Santa Cruz, and then it does, it pops up the map, and then I guess you don't want to drive while you're looking up in your... That seems like a bad idea. I don't like that idea.
Well, people have it in their dashboard.
Yeah, you're not supposed to look at it, though. It's just talking to you. And it does talk to you. It has bone conductance headphones that are right behind your ear and apparently work quite well. I played with it a little bit. I didn't try the audio, but... It's... I don't know if it's creepy or what. You probably saw the Saturday Night Live last week. Fred Armisen. Peacock. He's trying to get it to join the Wi-Fi. Peacock. I don't know. Anyway, I do think, though, very cool is having Google open. Okay, Google, show me Santa Cruz. Oh, one of the things she said, she's trying to figure out if her 8-year-old's tall enough to ride the giant roller coaster there. She says, how tall? She just says, okay, Google, how tall do you have to be to ride the Big Dipper roller coaster? And it says, you must be 4'9" to ride the Big Dipper. It knows. It's pretty amazing. I think this is the future of search. They said it's not, the tagline was reinventing search or something like that. Beyond search as you know it. And part of what Google's doing, and this, so what I want to know is what is the creepy factor here? See, me, I'm a bad judge, and maybe you're a better judge, Heather, because I love this stuff. I try it all. I don't care if people know what I'm doing. I don't even really care if they take pictures of me in the men's room. Who cares?
Really?
Yeah, what are they? You might care, but nobody wants to see anything I'm up to.
But they do, because you're
no,
a celebrity.
No, I don't. Yeah, no, who cares? Who cares?
Reports, you know.
What if it makes them happy? Whatever. I don't care. I got nothing to hide. But my point is I don't mind it because the value I get from being able to talk to the computer and having it understand what I'm looking for overrides the presumed invasion of privacy that Google's listening to every word I say. Who cares? I don't care.
There you go. Risk versus reward.
Yeah, Google doesn't care what I'm saying any more than anybody wants to see what I'm doing in the men's room. And then the people are worried about that keeps track of your searches. It's listening to everything you're saying. It's taking pictures of everywhere you go. And now this Google Now. Have you played with that? Do you have Google Now on your iPhone?
No. Uh-uh.
Update your Google search in the iPhone, and you'll get Google Cards when you go there. And the cards, the idea of the cards, and this is, again, the next generation of search, is it will know what you want before you want it. So, yeah. Jeez, yeah. Somehow, so I'll just look at my Google Now real quickly and see, because it probably knows where I am, right? Because it says, okay, so I'm doing the Tech Guy show. It knows that. A couple of people's birthdays that I know. For some reason, this is what was just shipped to me from Amazon, some razor blades. It knows that I followed the Giants. They lost last night. It knows it's 70 degrees in Petaluma, where we are right now, and it gives me the forecast for the next 5 days. And then it will do things like it'll tell me where, you know, what's going on. It's 6 minutes travel time to some other place. I don't know why it would want to know. And then it says, do you care about travel time to this place? I said, no. So then it won't tell me again. But it could 6 minutes to work, so it showed me how long it was going to take to get to work.
Maybe it thought you were going to get soup, and so it said, hey, it's 6 minutes.
Yeah, I don't know what it...
To the Petaluma Market.
It called it the new place. I don't know what the new place is. Anyway, this is the idea of this, and this is what Google explicitly wants to do, is keep track of what kinds of things you're interested in, and then offer you up information proactively ahead of time. So, for instance, it saw that I did a few searches on this phone, the HTC One, and it said, are you researching the HTC One? And I said, yes, and then it says, good. We'll continue to pull up articles about the HTC One on your phone.
Wow. Is it going to tell me when I need to go get my toenails done again?
If you give it enough signals, I don't know what those signals might be. Start searching for toenail places. I don't know what the... I don't know. Heather's ready. Give her a call. Creepy or cool? 8888 Ask Leo, the new Google. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Your call's next. How do you feel about Google? Everything's kind of groovy. Or is it spooky? Leo Laporte, the tech guy, our musical director. Nathan, you're doing a great job coming up with exactly the right... It's a little spooky.
I believe so.
I don't know if it's creepy or cool, but it's definitely spooky. We're talking about the fact that Google's moving more and more in the direction of knowing what you want before you want it and offering it to you. Eric Schmidt, a couple of years, maybe it was last year, at a talks, gave an example of what he expects the future of Google to be. He said, you're walking down the street, and you need a pair of pants. Seriously. It was his e-commerce fantasy. It was a conversation he was having... with whom? I guess at a thing called Commerce Vision. I don't know. At an event. And he says, you're driving down the street. Somehow your phone knows. Now, in Heather's case, it would be you need a new pedicure. But in the case he gives, you need a pair of pants. The phone says there's a pants store on the left and a pants store on the right. It knows that through Google Offers, the store on the right has the cheapest pants deal. So your phone perks up and says, turn right for pants. Then, that's not all. You walk in the store and the system sees you because of geofencing, another feature that Google added, by the way, to its search API. Geofencing says it knows where you are, and when you walk through an imaginary boundary, it goes ping. So the store goes, ah, Leo, welcome. I hear you need new pants. And he's got them right there. And then you, with Google Wallet, you tap the little terminal, and ping, it's paid for, and you walk out the store with your new pants. Let's hope they're on. And Google knew all this ahead of time. This is just like your pedicure. We could make this the H-bomb version of this. You're driving down the street. The Google says there's two pedicures left and right, but the Google Offers gives you $10 off on the right. So it says, turn right for pedicure. And you go, oh, how nice. The phone knew. You walk in the door. The girl recognizes you, says, Heather, I've got your passion pink already. And the chair is warmed up. The water is bubbling. Have a seat.
And it's on that perfect massage
level. Yeah, the little massage. Oh, yeah. Well, they would know that.
Exactly.
Actually, the chair would know that. The person doesn't. The chair goes, oh, it's Heather. Let's give her. We know she likes the Magic Fingers Stage 4. And you get there, and it's ready to go.
I'm crying.
The water is exactly 173 degrees. Now, maybe that's too hot. Oh, I'm sorry. Based on your current body temperature, the water is now 98 degrees. A slightly cooling foot bath for you. I think that's... But the thing is, that sounded, when he said that in August of last year, it sounded very futuristic. You know, every technology they announced at Google I.O. this week goes towards that. Geofencing, Google Now, Google Offers built into the phone, the Google Wallet. My friend, Mike Elgin was all excited because he paid with for coffee with his phone using Google Wallet. Just brum, brum. He said it was so fast. It was instant. Yeah, they're getting good at taking money out of your wallet like that. Creepy or cool? That's the question. So anyway, we'll open the lines, and if you could talk, we could talk about that. But anything you want to talk about, because I know I bring up this stuff, and then anybody just wants to know what's wrong with their computer. So who's our first call?
Oh, you're going to love Samantha.
I love Samantha already. Samantha is on the line. Line one, right?
Uh-huh.
Hi, Samantha. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Thank you, Heather.
Hi there. What I would like to know, Mr. Leo, is that I'm a busy mom, always on the go. And I'm just wondering, I just recently bought the Galaxy S3.
Yes.
And I'm looking for ways on how it can help me through my activities throughout the day. On the go all the time, I always have to remember to maybe pick up this or pick up that.
See, we're here. This is it. You want this stuff that Google's doing. Now, on an iPhone, you can actually press the button and tell Siri, remind me when I get to the store to pick up milk. And then Siri knows what the store is because you've already told it where, you know, you'd probably name the store. And it has, this is the geofencing. This is on iPhone. The geofencing, you walk in, the geofencing goes ping. And it tells you, hey, don't forget to get the milk. You have something similar, but not quite so easy to use on Android phones. In fact, I'm trying to think if there's anything where you could talk to the phone and say, remind me when I get to Piggly Wiggly to pick up some butter. And I don't know if there is anything quite like that on the... Let me just try this here. I'll just see. Remind me when I get to Petaluma Market to pick up soup. Let's see if it knows. It's going to talk back to me now. Well, yes, wait a minute. It does. It set a reminder.
Oh, really?
Yes. It says, pick up soup, and it's got a location... And that was the Google Now feature. So your S3, if you tap, that's the geofencing we're talking about. If you tap that little Google search bar at the top with the microphone, you saw what I just did it exactly. Remind me when I get to Petaluma Market to pick up soup. It found Petaluma Market's address and set a location. I could also add a time, and now I could set the reminder. And I guess it's in my reminders now. So that's the kind of thing. Now, admittedly, you have to be pretty geeky, Samantha, to do this and remember to do this.
No, I'm not.
But I think once you kind of get used to the idea, there are reminders built in. There are also programs that would do this kind of thing. I mean, it's there's a great grocery shopping app called Grocery IQ that lets you sync your grocery list and then sort it by aisle and so forth. But I think this is exactly what you just described is exactly where Google is headed. And it sounds like you don't mind a little bit if Google knows that you're buying stuff or what you're buying, as long as it helps you.
Exactly.
That's a fair trade. Yeah, your Galaxy S3 will do that. I just did it with the Galaxy S4. Your Galaxy S3 will do that. But you have to look at the top there where it says Google at the very top of the screen. And tap that microphone, and then just say, remind me to, when I get to, buy X, and it'll fill that all in.
Okay, great. I'll definitely try that then.
Yeah, isn't that... Now, you don't find that cool, geeky, or maybe you find it geeky, but not creepy. Or spooky.
No, not at all.
I like it. Great to talk to you, Samantha. Yeah, I think see, there you go. I'm a busy mom. I don't care if they know what I'm buying butter. Don't you think when you use the... how many people have a grocery card, right? Boy, they really push it on you, too. You go into a Safeway, they say, hey, you know, you're paying $38 more because you don't have the card. And they really push it on you. And, of course, what do you think they use the card for? Keep track of what you buy so they can give you coupons. It's just a matter of time before they start... shining a light in your eyes when you get to the bread. You wanted bread. Don't forget. You can also talk to your Galaxy S3 by pressing the home button. Depending on how the settings are, double tapping it or pressing it and holding it. And that'll set it off too. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. You may remember last week, right about this time, we had a caller who was very puzzled. He got a warning from Google saying, your WordPress site... has malware on it. Actually, the warning was for anybody visiting his site saying, don't enter this site. We've detected malware on it. Shortly thereafter, he wasn't really clear. He wasn't sure. He got a call from a guy at a company called iLockout that said, I can fix it. And he and our caller was saying, is this, what? Who is this? What is this? What happened? Did I said, I don't know. But well, let's find out, because on the line from iLockout, we've got Andrew X and Jared. Hello, guys.
Hey, Leo, how are you doing?
Is this Andrew?
This is Andrew.
So, Andrew and Jared, are you the CEO of iLockout? Is that right?
Yes, that is correct.
All right. So, you understand our confusion. And one thing that the caller didn't remember is how he had been contacted by you. So,
it seemed like he was a little confused.
Yeah. So, because I couldn't get that information out of him, I was worried because, you know, this would be a good trick for a hacker. Hack a website and then call the website's Who Is Record phone number and say, hey, you've been hacked, but I could fix it.
Yeah, no, definitely. That would be a good trick. But the way that our business works is we actually developed a scanner that scans the web daily, and it brings back thousands of infected websites. At that point in time, we contact them, and we're usually the first point of contact. And we're actually originally contacting to basically just inform them of what happened.
How do you get their phone number?
Well, it's on the website. That's usually a great way to get a hold of them. But also the Who Is information is more of a backup.
Yeah. And so that's what I presumed. In fact, that's exactly what I figured happened. And then he said that once you called him, and I guess it was his wife that got the call, it cost $300. He gave you, is it the FTP password that you get, or is it the site password?
The FTP information. And actually for Bill, the case was is we signed him up at 7 o'clock at night on a Thursday, and we had him completely off the blacklisting by 6 a.m. the next day.
He said that.
We're very fast at what we do.
He said that. He said it, and so... while I didn't know anything, we immediately tried to reach you, and we got a voicemail. But I'm glad we could get you on the show this week. So
yeah, you caught us on Mother's Day. Pretty much any other day of the year, you would have got us directly. But we put our moms first on that day.
Yeah, I don't blame you. And I said I don't know if this is bad or good, but my presumption is this is actually a very kind of enterprising way to help people out. Now I've had this Google warning. Google and Microsoft both scan the web looking for malware. It's part of their, you know, when they're doing their spidering, they can see this malware, add you to a blacklist, which gives you that pop-up page on Safari, on Chrome, and on Internet Explorer saying, this site has been has malware on it. Don't go here. So all you're doing is you're going around. Do you access the blacklist directly, or you just spider the web like this?
It's a proprietary scanner that we've been developing for the last year. And it finds hacks that Google, that Bing, none of them even know about.
Ah.
We're finding every type of hack out there. I mean, you know, not every hack, but we're finding a big majority of them. This is just a huge issue. I mean,
I agree. It's happened to me. We have a Drupal site for our podcast network, twit.tv, and their developers had put an insecure module, Drupal module. Drupal's fine, but the module was in there. We didn't know about it. Hacker used it. And stuck some PHP or JavaScript on our site, which was actually was a Java exploit, an old Java exploit. So
that's huge. Those are the worst type of exploits because those interact with your client's computers and they try to find stuff like banking information,
right?
And you know, tax returns, whatever they can dig up. I mean, it's really up to the hacker of what type of information they want sent back.
So when you get Andrew or Jared, when you get the FTP login, you go in and you actually go through that site looking for the malware?
No, I've developed a scanner,
just like a virus scanner.
Yeah, but just for websites. So I've developed a scanner that basically I download their website, I put it through my scanner, and it pops back with every file and every line that there's an infection. I go through and I hit a button and it takes care of them, re-upload the file, I save a backup for the client. The next day, we follow up with the client and we give them a security audit. So we tell them, look, here's your vulnerabilities and this is what you need to do. The main reason we developed this company is more for education for the client. So we're not only just doing it, we're teaching how to keep their site safe in the future.
So right, because if you think about it, there was a back door on that website that the bad guy used to modify the site in the first place. And that has to, you guys could get rid of the infection, but the back door has to be closed.
Yes, and that's actually what we do. See, 60% of websites that get hacked get reinfected within 19 days, and that's because web developers can't find the back door 90% right. of the time. And we find the back door. Our rehack rate is like 5%. It's very low.
Well, in our caller's case, he was using WordPress. WordPress, if you don't religiously keep it up to date, and that means patching it every few weeks, you will get hacked. It's just inevitable.
Yeah, so we do that. We actually, you know, offer updating services to our clients. We make sure that we change all their passwords after we're done. We make sure they're connecting with SFTP. We make sure that we go through, you know, every vulnerability that we know of at that point in time and basically educate them on what they can be doing to keep it safe as well, because most small to medium-sized businesses can't afford a full-time security tech.
Right.
To keep track of this problem. So right. we kind of developed this as a solution for small to medium-sized businesses and keeping them safe.
How big is your business? How big is iLockout?
We just have a few sales guys, and it's me and Jared. And, you know, we're pretty small right now. But you,
Andrew, were you ever a hacker?
No, never a hacker.
How did you learn all this stuff?
Well, I've been doing web design for 10 years, and 3 years ago, I noticed a trend. Oh, yeah. I was getting 5 to 6 calls per month of people getting hacked.
Right.
And I started kind of researching and figuring out what I have to do. And I'm the type of person, you know, I obsess about these things. So I had to figure out how to be the best at solving this problem. So I started developing software around everything I'm learning to make it quick and make it efficient. So, you know, that took about a year to get all the software in place, and we're still updating it every day because new hacks are emerging all the time. So, you know.
Yeah, that's right. In fact, you can buy these kits on the web.
I just feel bad for a lot of people. You know, some web developers can definitely take care of the problem, but I feel bad. A lot of people we talk to, you know, we're the first point of contact.
Right.
We let them know what happened.
Right.
And they say that they're going to have their web developer fix it. We get a call typically 2 weeks later from that client saying, okay, now it's time for us to try something else because it's the third or fourth time this has happened.
How do you get them off the blacklist? Do you just clear the virus and Google's pretty quick at pulling it?
Yeah, you know, we actually learned a few techniques to make it a little quicker than, you know, most people know about and stuff. But, yeah, that's basically what it is. We go in there. It's me and another tech, so we're basically immediately fixing the site when it comes in. I mean, average site fix with our software only takes 20 minutes. And the main thing of us is every sales guy, every tech we have here, they're almost like an insurance agent. They're there to answer their calls. So they always give their personal extension, and when they leave, they forward their phones. So I want people to feel comfortable that if you work with us, we're going to be there.
And that would be the scary thing. I mean, if I got a cold call from somebody saying, hey, I see your site's been hacked, I can fix it. My first presumption, as I think it was our callers, is something fishy's going on here.
Yeah, you know, there's actually currently a little over 1 million websites blacklisted, and that's a statistic you can find on Stop the Badware.
Yeah.
So there's really just no reason for anyone in our industry. We have a proprietary daily scanner, so obviously we can find these hacks. So why can't we just release that on the web and just let it go through every website that it finds and use that same scanning software to find our hacks?
Right.
So I understand what you're saying, and it seems like most of the people that are not very internet savvy, that is a concern that they have. But after they talk on the phone with us for 20 minutes, usually it puts them at ease. You know, we kind of explain the whole deal. You know, we're here to help. And if there's anything we can do for them, I mean, any client we have signed up, they've been extremely satisfied.
Well, I got to run, but I thank you. Hang on the line for a second. I want to talk to you some more. Andrew X, it's ilockout.com. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hey, our show today brought to you by my friends at ShareFile.com. If you're looking for a way to securely share files on the internet, I got to tell you, this is the way to do it. Do not send email attachments. That's, of course, a bad idea. Not only a great way to spread viruses and malware, but insecure. Anybody can read it along the way. And nowadays, the file sizes we're sending out, you're going to get a bounce back half the time. I couldn't send a single raw image from my camera without getting a bounce from most web servers, most email servers. ShareFile lets me send all kinds of files. I use it to send audio to the radio stations mostly. But I've used ShareFile to share pictures, to share all kinds of stuff, presentations, drawings. If you need to control those files, and in some cases, federal regulation, if you're in the, say, the medical business requires it. ShareFile is HIPAA compliant. It's can be customized for hundreds of different industries. Seamlessly integrates into your daily routine from any mobile device or desktop. If you use Outlook, they have a plugin for Outlook. Files can be password protected. You'll get a notification when the file is downloaded. You could say how many times it can be downloaded, how long, for, you know, how many days. I got a 30-day trial. You got to try this. If you're sharing files in business, you really must try ShareFile.com. Click the microphone at the top of the homepage at ShareFile.com, not Zombo.com. ShareFile.com. This is an actual useful website. Don't be fooled by that green button that says start your free trial right up at the top there. Radio listeners, click here. See that? That's the one you want. And enter in our offer code, TechGuy, one word. Now, one reason I want you to go there is you could see all the different industries that are supported, and you can customize it for any industry. I mean, they've got everything from event planning to food service, medical, legal, nonprofits. Make sure you use our offer code TechGuy, one word, and try it free for 30 days. If you're using another, consumer-oriented product, really, you ought to consider ShareFile. 100% secure. From Citrix, of course. ShareFile.com. Leo Laporte, the Tech Guy. I hung on the line after during the commercial break, spoke a little more with Andrew and Jared. And while I can never say with 100% certainty, we'd have to go meet them and take a look at what they're doing, that what they're doing is on the up and up. It sure sounds like it. And it makes perfect sense. It's actually a great business. And unless somebody's had problems with them and wants to call us and let us know, I'm going to have to presume that they are what they say they are. And iLockout.com does what it says it does. And as somebody who's been bitten, it's very easy to hack web servers. Very easy. And so somebody who's been bitten, I understand how troubling this is for a lot of people. You see this pop-up when you or your customers go to your website that says, don't go to this website, it's got malware on it. And you freak out. So I think this is actually a good idea for a business. He says he's not college trained. He doesn't have a computer science degree. He's self-taught, which is probably the case for most people like him. Started the business when he was just 18 years old. And I think it sounds like a great idea. So I do think it's probably pretty important to understand that if somebody cold calls you, it says, I see you have a problem. 9 times out of 10, especially if it's with your home computer, 100 times out of 100 on your home computer, it's a hacker. It's a bad guy. That's social engineering. And I'd be very cautious. I'd be very careful about giving out the keys to the kingdom, that is the passwords to your website. On the other hand, somebody's got to fix it. You do have to find somebody to fix it. When it happened to us, we were lucky. We have sysadmins we work with who are very, very accomplished, and they were able to go in and fix it right away. The reason this happens is because people don't keep their software up to date. Andrew was telling me off the air that there's one of the most common versions of Linux used to run web servers is called CentOS. He says there's an exploit right now on older versions of CentOS that allows that server to be hacked very easily remotely. Once your server's hacked, the bad guys put software on there that hacks the people who visit you. That's the big payoff. They don't want one computer. They want one server that can then infect thousands of computers. So these things are, absolutely a problem out there. And I don't know what the solution is. I'm sure these guys advertise. It seems like it would be a better way to reach people. On the other hand, people got problems. They do put their malware scan online, which I think is a good sign. You can, without giving out any passwords or anything, just enter your web address and have it scanned for malware. He wrote this scanner himself, he says. Good, nothing on my site. That's a relief. Any kernel earlier than 3.8, says Linux Lurker, not just CentOS, any old Linux kernel. It's a shell exploit. Wow, that's pretty bad. I bet the majority of Linux servers out there have kernels older than 3.8. 8888, ask Leah. Let's get back to the calls. I'm glad we could do that. And I want to thank Heather for setting that up. JR in Melvinville, Michigan. Hello, JR. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hey there, Leo. I got a pretty simple question for you, I think. Windows 7, I'm trying to decide whether to use the what they call Windows Defender versus downloading and installing Windows Microsoft Security.
So Windows Defender is currently on Windows 8 is the solution of choice. But on Windows 7, I would get Security Essentials.
Okay. Now, let's take Security Essentials and compare that to I'm trying to decide between AVG Free.
No, the only good free antivirus is Microsoft Security Essentials. If okay. you're willing to pay for a virus, antivirus, which, you know, they're not that expensive, I would get ESET's Nod 32. That's the one we advertise, but the reason we advertise is I've been recommending it for over a decade. It's very good, very fast, very effective. Okay, but if you, but none of the free stuff is as good as Microsoft Security Essentials, I think. Okay, the problem is that the free stuff isn't as good as the paid stuff.
Okay. Well, the reason I was asking between the Defender and the Security Essentials is...
Defender's ancient. Don't use Defender.
Oh, really? That is old.
Yeah. The current... For Windows 7, it's Microsoft Security Essentials. Microsoft confuses this because on Windows 8, it's called Defender. It's not the same thing.
Okay. All right. Well, that answers that question.
My pleasure. Thanks for calling. I appreciate it. Yeah, a paid antivirus is going to be more up-to-date. It's going to have a better scanner. I think Microsoft does a decent job with Microsoft Security Essentials, but it's not perfect by any means. It's just better than the free stuff. And, of course, you get a lot of arguing with me on that one. Defender is an older product and a newer product. Very confusing. Thank you, Microsoft. They have problems with their naming. Should I do a... I should do an ad here, Nathan, huh? And then we'll go on.
No.
No? No? Okay. No. Let's go on. Is it Shrin in Phoenix, Arizona? Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hi, Leo. I'm calling because I recently purchased a Windows 8 laptop. And when I purchased the laptop, I asked the salesman if it comes with any restore CDs. And he said they don't come with them anymore, but he said it should be pretty easy to do. But when I looked up online for that particular model laptop, it looks like they don't even include a tool to make the CDs anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah, Windows Restore CDs for Windows 8 laptops.
Don't buy a laptop that you can't make a restore disk out of. That's my answer. The best solution is to get, and only a few people still do this, Microsoft doesn't want them to do it. Understand, Microsoft charges more if a company like Dell gives you a disk because they're worried about piracy. So they really want to discourage OEMs, that's what these guys are called, computer manufacturers, from selling you a computer with a disk. However, almost all of them, all the good ones, have at least a way to build disks. Now, I don't recommend building disks anymore. In fact, a lot of these laptops don't even have CDs or DVD-ROM drives. The best way to do it is get a USB key, and all the new computers will build it to a USB key as well. That's a really fast, easy way to reinstall Windows. But you got to have a Windows installer. You got to have a Windows installer. And if they don't offer a way to do that, what are you going to do when the computer dies?
The laptop we purchased does not have an optical drive whatsoever.
Right.
I just wanted to make sure because it's a Lenovo laptop, and I looked. Dell doesn't offer the CD.
Lenovo doesn't. Wait a minute. Lenovo doesn't give you a way to build recovery.
According to the salesman, he said it's with Windows 8 that he said the tools have been removed.
It is different in Windows 8. You're right. In fact, Windows 8, it has it kind of built in, but I still want you to build an external recovery. Windows 8 has a very nice restore feature. So what happens with Lenovo and almost everybody is there's a recovery partition on the drive. And in most cases, when you want to repair Windows, you can work off that partition. But what if the hard drive dies, right? That's, you need to have an external disk. I just used mine on my Acer S7. To reinstall Windows 8. So I have done the full refresh. There's some very nice features in Windows 8 that let you do a full refresh, but that's taking the data from the partition, the recovery partition. If something should go wrong with that recovery partition or the entire hard drive, what are you supposed to do? That's why you have to have a recovery drive on a USB disk. And I'm sure you can do it. I think the salesman was mistaken. I can't imagine Lenovo, of all people, would make a laptop that you couldn't do that with.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Which model do you have?
It's the Lenovo Twist.
Ah, the twist.
Inside twist.
Let me look. Let me look and check and see, because that doesn't. That can't be right. It's one thing that's changed. Boy, they've changed so much in Windows 8. Guys like me, now we have to spend a lot of time learning everything anew. But the recovery setup on Windows 8 is completely different. However, I think very nicely done. There, in fact, I've done it in both a variety of different ways, and both of them have worked quite well. There is a recovery that just comes off of that recovery partition. If you're having problems, if it's not operating properly or so forth, very easy, in fact, to just kind of reboot the computer and it rebuilds itself. It goes back to the way it was. It's a true recovery. But you, but at least on this Acer, and I'm sure it's the case on Lenovo, that you can do that as well. I'd be shocked if you couldn't. If you just, you know, hit your Windows key and type recovery, that'd probably be the best way to do it. And if there's anything in there, Lenovo will have it. I'm just looking at the Acer. It's called, and on an Acer, it's called Acer Recovery Management. You can restore factory settings, which just kind of refreshes the computer. Customize restore, which means you'll save your data. Reinstall drivers or applications. But then down here, and this is the link you want to find on your Lenovo, create factory default backup, which means that you're going to create on the USB drive, or a CD if you have one, your very own recovery partition. You got to have that. I can't imagine using Windows without it. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Well, hey, 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 how are you today? Leo Laporte here, the tech guy. We're talking computers. We're talking the internet. We're talking smartphones, home theater, digital photography. 8888-ASK, Leo, is the number. I didn't mention the website last hour. Let me tell you where you can find everything I talk about. It's on techguylabs.com. Adam, what's your brother's name?
Scott.
Scott Fields is here. He's celebrating his 50th birthday. You look like a kid. You look so young. It's making me feel bad. I'm only a few years ahead of you. You look like you're celebrating his 30th, doesn't he? Yeah. Happy birthday. His brothers have brought him here for a birthday party. Boy, did you? I don't know if you came to the right place. We'll have to find some cupcakes in the back. 8888 Ask Leo. Ken is next from Rhode Island. Hi, Ken. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hi, Leo. Thanks for taking the call.
Thanks for calling.
As I come up for my Verizon contract renewal next month, I'm trying to figure out what type of a cell phone to get. I've been with BlackBerry for the last two cycles, mostly because I've been told that it is best for email, and that's what I do most of the time. But I just wanted your comments on, you know, Droid versus iPhone versus Windows versus redoing another BlackBerry.
Yeah, I don't know if Verizon's going to get the Q10. That's the closest to what you've currently got, probably. It's not a touch phone. The Z10 is their a BlackBerry 10-based touch phone. The Q10, I think, looks pretty good. It's a lot like an old-style BlackBerry, but it's got a touch screen. It's got their new operating system, which I like a lot. And since you're in the BlackBerry universe, you're not going to bemoan the lack of things like Instagram, you know, because it's you don't know from Instagram.
I don't do any social media at all, Twitter, no Facebook. It's mostly work-related emails and basic applications. And I sync with Outlook at home, so it's pretty basic.
Then the other option, and this you probably should look at it, Verizon just announced the Nokia 928.
I saw that. I've been waiting for that.
It is a beautiful phone.
Really?
And the only thing, in my mind, the only negative on the Nokia 928 is the lack of things like Instagram. But again, you don't care. So I think it does email quite well. If you're using Outlook, it'll be nice because you're already kind of in the Microsoft universe. Do you have an Outlook.com or Live.com account?
No, I Microsoft don't. Account? Really? No, just my work domain and my Verizon. So, and I also didn't want to get involved with, you know, a Gmail email address or an Apple.
Right. You don't have to. And that you really do on Android. You've got to. And Apple, you absolutely have to get in the Apple universe. So I think the choice is really going to come down to the Q10 if you want a physical keyboard.
Mm-hmm.
If you want the best touchscreen with a great camera, I don't know if camera counts or not, the 928 is a good one to look at.
What about the future of BlackBerry?
It's kind of up in the air. It's unknown. You know, they're really trying to save that company, but it's tough. Does your company use an Exchange, a Microsoft-based email server, or BlackBerry server?
Microsoft Exchange.
Yeah, I think probably this would be a good time to at least consider the jump to Windows Phone.
Okay, so either Windows or BlackBerry.
Yeah, BlackBerry, we just don't know. I don't think they're going to go out of business for a while. The government and lots of industry continues to use BlackBerry.
Okay.
And it still is a very good choice for email alone. The Q10 will have that keyboard, the physical keyboard you're used to. Very nice BlackBerry keyboard from all reports. But I have the 928, and I'm actually surprised myself how much I like it. It's kind of big, kind of heavy. So you should go to the Verizon store and hold both of them. Both of them are not right away, by the way. 928, I think, is any minute now. I'm not sure when Verizon's going to get the Q10. But if you can, hold them first. Of course, both will work with your business email, just as it does now. But Microsoft works very well in a Microsoft environment. No Google needed. My suggestion, if you are going to get a Windows phone, though, is to set up that Microsoft Live account and hook it up to whatever services you use. That way, you just log in on the phone to your Microsoft Live account, and everything is up and running very quickly, very easily. I really like the 928. Beautiful camera. In fact, I just saw a comparison of video shot with all the major smartphones, and the 928 won easily. So if you don't do social media, you may not be into the camera phone or the video phone. But boy, I think it's a nice camera phone and video phone. Again, as I said, a little big, a little clunky, a little heavy. But sometimes that's a nice thing too. You really have a lot of space on there to read stuff, to watch video, to type if you're doing email, to see the whole email. 8888 Ask Leo. That's the number. Lynette in Azusa, California. You're next. Hi, Lynette. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Leo, I can't believe I'm actually talking to you.
Surprise, surprise, surprise. Welcome.
Wow, this is the first time I've ever tried to call you. I was on the chat room earlier, and I was asking a question, and they said, the guy I was talking to said he didn't know, so I said, well, I'm going to call Leo just to try.
And they said, oh, you'll never get through.
Well, you know what? The only thing he said was, you better hurry.
Well, you made it.
Hey, I can't believe it.
I'm so glad. Thank you, Lynette. What can I do for you?
Well, you know what? I have every electronic gizmo in my house. I've retired, and I, believe it or not, chat room, at 65, you still like electronics.
Of course you do.
Anyway, I was listening to your show this last week, and Google had that show on about the, what was it, the developer?
The Google I.O. Developers Conference. That's what they call it.
Yes, I listened to all of it. It was great.
You did? Wow.
Oh, I love
you. Are a geek,
Leo.
Lynette.
I have learned so much stuff from you guys. It's incredible.
I have to say, it's very exciting. It's very fun, and there's no age limit. We have viewers and listeners as young as 8 and as old as 80 and older. And I don't think this is about age. I think it's about, you have to like change. You have to be willing to have things change.
Oh, and I just think it's electronics. It's just so interesting.
Isn't it?
And since I started listening or watching your show all the time, I even bought a Roku so I could watch you on TV.
Oh, Lynette, I'm so grateful. Thank you. Wow.
I have learned so much. Now it's gotten to the point, Leo, my son, who's 35, he asked me.
That's a victory. Victory for us
really
old timers. So what can I do to help you here?
Okay, I'll make it quick here. I'm talking too much. You know what? I noticed that they were talking about all the Google environment, and I thought it was really interesting. Since I'm already an Apple, I've got every Apple product, and then I have the Windows 8 environment, which I am enjoying. But Google, I thought, oh, I want a Chromebook. I was looking at it, and I thought, oh, I want to get one. But then I got to thinking, can you run Java on a Chromebook?
Oh, that's a good, I never thought of that. Why do you need Java?
There's a certain game site that I've been on since 1990. It's called Pogo.
Okay. Yeah, I know Pogo. I remember Pogo. They're still around, huh?
It is, and I have so much fun on that little site. I like to get on the they have a chat thing also. and listen to everybody say everything. It's just, it's fun. It's a lot of fun.
So you can get Java on the Chromebook. It doesn't come with it, and it takes some hacking to do, which I wouldn't really recommend. The reason is because it's not secure, and the Chromebook is all about security.
Right. And see, I don't put any Java on any of my Apple products because I thought, no, I just got the brand new iMac.
How do you like it?
One too.
Yeah. Oh. Razor thin. Isn't it amazing?
It's beautiful.
Your son must just crack up when he comes over.
he calls me and he goes, Mom, are you in your electronic utopia
good,
over there?
Good
and
I go, for yeah. you. Good for you.
I love it. When I got my new iMac, I put on Facebook, I thought, oh, I'm so excited with my new iMac. I'm going to wrap it in a blanket and take it to bed with me.
It's a little large for that. I hope you have a big bed. So my recommendation is to, if you want to do Pogo, is to get a real computer. Java is not going to run well on a Chromebook. In fact, the whole point of the Chromebook is to keep you from doing stuff like that. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Nice to meet you, Lynette. Our show today is also brought to you by the podcast part of the show. It's brought to you by LegalZoom.com. It's very nice. You know, we have advertisers who support the podcast, not the radio show. And that's great because it means we can offer this to you for free. We can, you know, take the time to make a great website. It pays for Josh Windisch, our website guy, so he can put the videos up and everything. So we thank them. We especially thank LegalZoom. Actually, I have a lot to thank LegalZoom for. Back in 2005, I used LegalZoom to create the Tech Guy, or actually the TWIT LLC. LegalZoom is not a law firm. What they are is a website where they can go step-by-step through a questionnaire and do legal documents like incorporation, wills, trusts, trademarks. They do things like patents and NDAs. So I created the LLC, and it's the same LLC that we still operate under. It was that good. Now we have, at great expense, a law firm now. But in the early days when I was starting out, that was the way to go. And I still think it's the way to go. If you're starting a business, protect yourself and your assets. If you've got a family, you got to have a will, or the courts decide what happens to your assets, to your children. Wills are $69. LLC or a corporation, $99. It's so easy to do. You'll walk through the steps. They do trademarks, too. So if you have, maybe you have a blog and you want to make sure that nobody else uses your name, your brand. I used it to trademark the name TWIT and the logo, the little guy. Very affordable. I want you to try it today. LegalZoom.com. If it comes up, and they didn't have this when I did it back in, 2005? But they do now, and it's great. If it comes up, you get a question, and you want to talk to an attorney, they have a legal plan where they've got attorneys in almost every state. They've vetted them. They've set a fixed price for them. So you know what you're going to be paying for your advice. And you can even read unedited reviews and profiles so you can pick the right attorney for you. It is a great idea. No wonder over the last, 12 years, 2 million Americans have used LegalZoom for LLCs, for wills, trusts, trademarks, and more. You try it today. Make sure you use our offer code TECHGUY, one word, and we'll take $10 off at checkout. LegalZoom.com, not a law firm, self-help services at your specific direction, or you can speak to a legal plan attorney and get your questions answered and get ongoing advice. LegalZoom.com, use our offer code TechGuy at checkout. You'll get $10 off, and we thank them. Thank you from the bottom of my heart for making the Tech Guy podcast possible.
The only limit is yourself. Welcome to ZomboCon.
That's a good test to see if somebody's been around for a while. Zombo.com was a kind of a internet meme in the last century. I can't even believe I can say that. 1999, when people just first started putting, remember when Flash became popular? And all of a sudden, every website would have this elaborate entry portal that went through a bunch of animation. And Zombo.com was created by some ingenious web designer to mock it. And when you go there, it just goes on forever. Everything is possible at Zombo.com. Doesn't do anything else. It just goes on and on and on and on and on and on and on. So I want to talk a little bit about Java. Lynette brought it up, and it's probably important to mention this because it is a real security problem. Java is not equal to JavaScript. There are two different languages, and they aren't at all alike. They're only named the same because Netscape, which came up with JavaScript, I think it was called LiveScript at first. I can't remember what it was called. decided to kind of piggyback on the popularity of Java in the 90s and call their web language JavaScript. Not related. Not at all. I guess they look a little bit alike in syntax. Java is a true programming language. It was designed with one idea in mind, to make it possible for somebody to write a program that would run on anything. And in fact, because of this write once, run anywhere philosophy, you see Java on BlackBerry, for instance, is Java. Android is Java. And Pogo and a lot of game sites in the early days, Yahoo games, were Java-based. Because you could write this program and it just run on anything. The problem, in fact, when it was designed, the company that created it, Sun, which later was sold to Oracle, Oracle now runs Java, did it very carefully, they said, to make it secure. It was what they call sandboxed. Java applets, the little programs that were running, couldn't get outside the sandbox to affect your system. So they planned it with security in mind. Unfortunately, times have changed. It's a fairly old code base. Oracle has apparently not kept it up, and it's actually full of problems. Full of problems. Oracle has patched it and patched it again. If you have Java on your system, you probably get those warnings all the time. It's best not to use it if you don't have to, and in most cases, you don't. You could just take it off your system. But even if you do use it, if you have it on your system, for instance, if you use play Minecraft, that's in Java. That's written in Java. You need Java to play Minecraft. But what you don't want it to do is to automatically run Java from the web. That's how people get infected. So different browsers have different ways to turn off Java. Some don't really give you a good way to turn off Java. But if your browser allows you to turn off Java, do. Just uncheck the allow Java box. And I'm looking at Safari on Apple, and it's in the security tab. Uncheck that. JavaScript's okay. It has its own set of problems, but you kind of need it. But you definitely want it. You definitely want to turn off Java if you don't use it. Uninstall it if you don't use it. If you play Minecraft, just turn off disable browser. Because you don't want the browser to automatically run a Java program. That's how people get in trouble. 8888-ASK-LEO. That's the number. Let's get back to the phones. Our next call from San Diego. Richard's on the line. Hi, Richard. Leo Laporte.
Hi, how are you, Leo?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for taking my call. So, I know you get these questions all the time, but I don't know if you've had this hybrid of a question. In regards to cams and webcams, and I'm trying to kill two birds with one stone. I'm a manufacturer, and a lot of times people don't believe things are still manufactured in the U.S. I want to put a setup a webcams for my own security purposes, so when I'm not here, I'm watching my guys work and everything's going, you know, going good. But I also want people to be able to dial into my website.
I love that idea, so that they know it's being made in the U.S.
Abso-frickin-lutely. Thank you.
you know, I like, in fact, was it my imagination? Maybe it was just my fantasy, but I seem to remember there was a computer manufacturer that you could go online and watch your computer being made. And they would like put a sign on it, say, you know, this is we're making this computer for Richard, and you could actually watch it go down the assembly.
Yeah, you know, I am an old geek, and I vaguely remember that.
Does that sound familiar? Maybe it was Alienware or Falcon Northwest or somebody. So I'll tell you what we use. It's a product called Dropcam.
Hold on, let me write this down.
Yeah, I really like this a lot. Dropcam, we use it. In fact, if you go to twit.tv, you could see our Dropcams. twit.tv. / what is it? Cams? Drop cams? I can never remember. Drop cams,
drop.
Plural.
So
the drop cam, cams? Yeah, the drop cam is a Wi-Fi camera. Yeah, dropcam.com. The drop cam is a Wi-Fi camera.
Uh-huh.
And so the only wire you need is to plug it into the wall. They have HD versions. It streams automatically. The drop cam website will pick up the drop cam and store it if you want, which is handy if you don't want to monitor it 24/7, but you want to go back in time. You can do that, and it's really we have six of them spread around the studio, and the idea is people can go to our website, and if you want to see what they look like, twit.tv/dropcams, and you can see what's going on. So just like your factory floor, and you can watch it, but also your customers can watch.
So is there, like, ability for, say, a user to switch between, like...
Yeah, so what we do is we have six cameras and we have an array. Just go to twit.tv. This is my podcast company, /dropcams, plural. Okay. And you'll see six of them. They're not all... They don't play all at once. You click the one you want to see, so you could choose. So we have... The old school drop cam, which is the original one, and then we've upgraded to the HD drop cams, so you can see our reception area. We actually use it in the reception area because we don't have a receptionist full time. So we have a drop cam showing the front door, and when we don't have a receptionist at the desk, we'll have somebody in the back keeping an eye on the front desk.
And forgive me, maybe I missed this. Is there a DVR aspect to it?
There is. It's their service, though. You pay a subscription fee if you want to use it, and they record it on their website. So you don't even have to have a DVR. You can go back in time on your drop, but you pay for it if you want it. And you can say, I want to keep a week or more if you want.
I see.
I love DropCam. It's very. We've had great results with it.
So it's user friendly. Not very. I guess there's not a lot of stuff for me to set up.
And, yeah, it's. I mean, you have to be able to hook up the DropCam to a computer and set it up.
Uh-huh.
Put the settings, the Wi-Fi settings. Do you have Wi-Fi in the factory?
Yeah, we do.
Yeah,
we do.
So you put in the Wi-Fi settings. The only thing I would caution you is the HD DropCams use quite a bit of bandwidth, as you might imagine. Yeah. They're sending an HD signal, and if you have.
I have a 75 mega.
Oh, you're good.
Megabits up and down.
Not you're good. You got plenty.
75. I got a data center connection coming in here.
Well, that's what do you make, Richard?
I'm an inflatable manufacturer. The inventor of the inflatable movie.
The inflatable what?
Inflatable movie screens. Have you ever?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. We have inflatable movie screens all the time. We have a little place down here that does movies in the park, and they.
So I'm one of the inventors, I guess, and we manufacture bounce houses. I mean, anything you can think of, I can make you an inflatable Leo.
Can you make me like an inflatable rat like they have downtown New York City?
Absolutely, inflatable.
I want an inflatable Leo.
Anything.
Hang on the line. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. I like this. I'm trying to place it. Sounds like Yes or something. What is it?
I want to say ELO.
ELO?
Correct.
That was a huge
one. Oh, Heather, she remembers.
Man, listen to how epic this is.
This is epic. They don't make music like this anymore. They make inflatable music nowadays.
From China. Filled with lead.
This was a good song.
Oh, their records. You know, and that's back when people made records.
That's back when bands played music.
Yeah. You say, I like the first song on the second side. Or
Heather, you and I are sounding like old-timers.
No, like Scotty said yesterday, vinyl, very hip.
Yeah, very hip. With it, man. So I talked a little more to Richard about his company, which is Inflatables Superstore. InflatablesSuperstore.com. And he said for $15,000, we can make an inflatable Leo. And then somebody in the chat room said, what about, forget inflatable, how about a granite Leo? it wouldn't be probably more expensive, and it would last longer. We wouldn't have to keep inflating it, like my ego.
It just, good one.
Yeah. You knew that was coming.
We'll have a statue of you in the Petaluma Town Square.
Mm, yeah.
Yeah.
I have a bobblehead. That's probably all I can really, hope for. Bobblehead is enough. Anyway, Richard does have a video on YouTube of his factory and people making the inflatables. But I think I like the idea of putting your drop cam in. That's a good idea. 8888 Ask Leo. That's the number to talk to Heather and get on the show. Let's get the show on the road. Diane in Burbank, California, our next caller. Hi, Diane. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hi. I'm curious about something. I've heard that children in the first grade, usually now it seems to be the custom, give them an iPad. I couldn't figure out. I was curious. How can children in the first grade keep from playing with and dropping their thing? You know, their.
They iPad do, and that's why you have to get a big rubber case on it.
Put a case on it?
Yeah, yeah. You know, I see kids as young as 3 years old using iPads. There's something about the touchscreen that's so intuitive that little kids, really little kids, can figure it out. I have a friend whose three-year-old knows how to turn on the iPad, navigate to Netflix, and launch Phineas and Ferb.
Oh, my gosh. And also, I saw a picture of Tom Cruise's little girl recently. I think she's maybe 5 years
Suri
old.
Suri has an iPad, yeah.
Her mother and with her iPad.
So here's the case that we... This is the case...
We're not talking about in school now.
No, there's lots of educational software. So here's the deal. This is the case we make our employees use because they're worse than five-year-olds when it comes to dropping iPads. It's called an Addy case, and it's a heavy hard rubber case with a handle. And so kids love this. You could throw an iPad. Now, the problem is, of course, in order for the iPad to be usable, you have to kind of expose the glass front. But this has a little plastic cover for even to go over the glass front. I'll tell you, if a kid whapped the glass front really hard on a pointed object, you'd break the glass.
Oh, well, I never heard of the case for it. Yeah. I know there's cases for others. Never heard of that
they
one.
They have kids' cases, yeah.
But that one seems to be the ones that parents are buying for their 4 and 5 year old kids. And his daughter, Tom Cruise's daughter, Suri, the picture did not show her walking with a case.
No, but, yeah, and, you know, some kids are better with these things than others. I think you're right. I think a five-year-old is often going to throw this stuff around. The other thing that's good about this particular case, and it's addycase.com, is it hides the home button. So one of the issues, of course, with a kid is that they... and not intentionally, but they accidentally, you'll hit the home button. They're watching Phineas and Ferb, and it goes away. And they go, and you don't want them to do that. So this works also with our employees. We hide the home button so they can't get out of the home screen. You can also, and the nice thing about the iPad has a is highly customizable for kids, and you can lock it out so that the kid can't, in fact, get out of any individual program. So you can set that up. I think this is not a bad idea. Now, iPads are $500, so there are, you know, you might also want to look at an Android tablet. The Nexus 7 is a couple $100. There's other choices. But the iPad seems to have the good stuff for kids, really, really great software for kids. This is a case we've used. It's a hard rubber case, $39. And, in fact, I think there's videos online of kids trying to destroy the iPad with the Addy case. It's actually not just little kids. I mean, a lot of autistic children and adults use iPads. It's a great way to for them to communicate and so forth. And so in any environment where the iPad might get banged around, that's why we have one. This is an industrial case for it. You could even spill on it because it's got the plastic insert that keeps the screen covered up. Won't survive anything. If the kid throws it in the toilet, you're out of luck. Thanks, Diana. I appreciate it. Let's say hi to Bob in Atlanta. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Bob.
Hi, Leo.
Or...
First, I want to complain about your show because you've turned me into an addict. I'm addicted to a Roku, your Twit Network, and Audible.com.
Are you running your voice through some sort of strange voice changer here?
Boy, hold on just a second.
Oh, I could do that too, you know.
Hold on.
Oh, you know, this show is going to get harder and harder to do as the years go by. Yeah, much better.
Okay, I'm sorry. I leaned against the button on this old Panasonic phone I got.
That's good. What was the name of that program? I like that. I need that.
No, it was actually built into the phone. It's a cordless phone, and it's got all different kinds.
Oh, little kinds of voice changers. That's good.
I've been on hold, and I leaned my ear against the activation button.
No, you did not. Come on. You did that on purpose.
I swear.
Just say to me, anything's possible at Zumbo.com.
I used to be a radio announcer years ago, and if I could have gotten my voice to sound like that, I might have stayed in the business.
In a world where a man and his phone sound like that. That's great. I love it. What can I do for you, Bob?
Okay, I've got it's my first smartphone. It's a Samsung Galaxy Exhibit 4G. It's an entry-level cheap phone. It only has about 356 megs of RAM, so it gets RAM challenged a lot.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking about getting a Nexus 4 to replace it.
Lovely phone.
Now, here's my question about that. I understand it's got Jelly Bean. It's been rumored around that they may be coming out with a version with Key Lime Pie on it. There's no guarantee about that, but I'm wondering if I get the Nexus 4 as it stands today, I was going to get the 16 gig version. do you think I'm buying something that's kind of past its peak?
No, in fact, the reason to get a Nexus 4, besides the fact that it's cheap, unlocked $300.
And I'm already on T-Mobile.
Now, it doesn't do LTE, but see, since you're on T-Mobile, you don't care about that.
I don't care. What I've got the 4G on T-Mobile, and it's fast enough for me.
The other thing that it doesn't do is it doesn't have a replaceable battery. It's sealed in.
Yeah, I understand. I've been reading that you there's a couple of very small screws in the back.
You probably could do that.
And they say you can actually change the battery.
It's a great phone. Google made this phone as a developer phone. They made it cheap. It's very nice. Now, you know that they announced that coming in June, they're going to use the Galaxy S4 as their Nexus phone. So hang on. We'll talk about the differences in a second. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. We've been talking with Bob in Atlanta about buying a new Android phone. And he's looking at the Nexus 4. This is what Google calls, and all the Nexus phones are this, a pure Google experience. That means there's no carrier cruft, no manufacturer cruft. It's manufactured by LG, but you wouldn't know that. There's no branding, no additional apps. It's a pure Google phone, and that's one of the reasons people like it. But the other reason, Bob, is because Google guarantees it will be updated. So you mentioned Jelly Bean, Key Lime Pie. These are versions of Android. Google at its I.O. did not mention a new version of Android at all.
Yeah, I noticed that.
So we're at 4.2.2 for the duration. I think in the next couple of months they'll do a 4.3. It is not going to be Key Lime Pie. It's just going to be a new version of Jelly Bean. But in any event, that's the whole point of getting a Nexus 4. It's guaranteed to be upgraded.
Okay, which is not the situation with other T-Mobile phones where you never get an upgrade.
Or any carrier. Like I have, I bought an unlocked Galaxy S4 from Europe. I'm running it on T-Mobile, but even that isn't guaranteed to have an update. Whereas Google says $650 next month, you'll be able to buy a Google version of the Galaxy S4, the Nexus S4. And that will also be guaranteed updates. But it'll be unlocked, but it's going to be $650. So.
Yeah, that's a big difference. I mean,
that's a big difference.
Two of them.
That's a big difference. You might want to check with T-Mobile because I think you can even get a Nexus 4 subsidized slightly by T-Mobile with this new Uncarrier stuff.
Well, the thing is, you get this phone unlocked. I've got this really inexpensive plan now. I pay about $50 a month, and I get 2 gigs of data and 500 minutes of voice, which is all I need. So all I'd have to do is get another SIM card and stick it in here, and I
exactly
could keep the same plan.
You should check. T-Mobile has a new online plan. Everybody around here in my office is getting it. 500 minutes of talk, unlimited data and text. Unlimited data and text. And by the way, when T-Mobile says unlimited, they mean, I think, either 5 or 10 gigabytes. It's limited unlimited.
I can listen to you on TuneIn Radio then.
Yeah, right. 500 minutes of talk. Who uses talk?
I don't.
Nobody. And then it's unlimited talk. It takes $30 a month. But you have to buy that one online. I know. You have to
check that out. Anyway, Leo, I've been listening to you on TV for about a year now on the Roku, and I just love your show. I've taught electronics for 30 years, worked for a technical company, and the way you present stuff is just great. And keep up the good work.
Well, I really appreciate it, Bob. Thank you for the kind words.
All right. Bye.
Now everybody's saying, no, it's 100 minutes, and no, I checked. Let me tell you, it's one of their prepaid plans, and you got to go way down on the page to find it. And they may not even still offer it, actually. It looks like they don't maybe offer it anymore. But it was $30 a month. Yeah, maybe they've taken it away. It was a limited time, I guess. Still, very affordable. I pay $70 a month for unlimited talk, text, and data. And then when I bought it, the woman at the counter said, oh, Ed, by the way, unlimited, that's 10 gigabytes. What are they doing to the English language? I don't understand. Unlimited is 10 gigabytes. We also have an unlimited 5 gigabyte plan. Oh, and that's also unlimited. Oh, yes. Until you get to 5 gigabytes, then it's limited. Cuckoo. Pamela, Studio City, Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Pamela.
Hi. I talked to you in February after the big show in Vegas, and I was telling you about a Sony TV that I had that was 27-inch.
Oh, I remember. Yes. Yes. Did you get a new one?
No, not yet. You were saying 50 inches better
mm-hmm.
than 46-inch, but I'm still looking around. My question is this. I have, like, one of those flip phones, and my dad has a iPhone 4S, and I try and text him, but it comes in scrambled. Now, what I want to do is get an iPod, not an iPhone, and they told me that I could text people that have iPhones only, but I don't know how they would text.
That's not true. The flip phone, I'm not sure why it's coming in. You mean he's getting it, but it's
like in Greek.
That's odd.
Yeah, I mean, it's like you know, an asterisk, like an upside-down letter, a dash,
SMS, which is a short message system, and it's the text messages that you send from your phone, the flip phone, is available on all smartphones. It's the same thing. It goes cross-platform. It goes from an iPhone to any other phone. There is an iPhone program called iMessage that just call it Messages now, that is only for other iPhones, but that's not what you'd use. You just use plain old.
Yeah, but I just want to get an iPod, not an iPhone, because I have a good plan.
Oh, I see. You don't want a phone.
No.
Yeah, you won't be able to text message. You have to have a phone to text message.
See, they told me with an iPod I could text message someone with an iPhone.
Oh, yeah. Yes, you could.
But how do they text me back if I don't have a phone?
Because you have to be online. So it's not an iPod. It's an iPod Touch.
Right.
It's a special kind of iPod. And so it has Wi-Fi. And you need to have Wi-Fi where you are for it to work.
Will it work on the iPod 4 or I need the whole 5 deal?
iPhone 4. Yes, it'll work with an iPhone 4.
Not phone. Pod.
It needs to be an iPod Touch.
iPod Touch. Okay. And then anyone with Apple can text me back.
Anybody with an Apple can text you using messages, not SMS. So it's not really text. In fact, you don't have to use messages. You could use a lot. There's lots of other apps. You could use Google now has a Hangouts that can do it. Facebook has Messenger. There's WhatsApp. There are lots of ways to do it. They use the internet, not your phone service, and that's why it'll work on an iPod Touch, as long as it's online.
Okay, good. All right,
Skype will do it. You could actually make phone calls with it from Skype.
Yeah, well, I don't need to see anyone's face.
I don't blame you. You're not alone, by the way.
If I don't want to hear their voice, I certainly don't want to see their face.
We thought that, but you know, remember in the 60s, I remember going to the World's Fair in 1966 in New York City, and AT&T introduced its video phone. They said, by the year 2000, phone calls will be. But it turned out we didn't want to see people's faces.
Exactly.
We didn't want them to see us, more importantly.
And now they don't want to hear us, so
yeah,
we text.
Kids don't phone anymore, they just text.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's like, and the only person I text is my dad, and he has
If he has an iPhone, you can get an iPod Touch and send it Messenger, yeah.
Okay.
You should be able to text from your phone to his. I'm not sure what's going on.
I can. Sometimes it goes through, but then other times, like the second time, it'll come in, like, you know, in Greek.
That's weird.
But, like, you know, certain things will come in fine.
Yeah, that's weird.
So, I mean, he's the only one I text. So
that should work, and I'm not sure why it's not working. It sounds like because your phone is so old, maybe it's not you. Maybe I don't know what. It's somehow something strange is happening.
Yeah,
both on the same cell phone company?
Yeah, it's a good plan. So, I mean,
You might call the cell phone companies, tell them what's happening. That should work. You shouldn't need to do anything else.
I want to get an iPod just for all the other features.
Yeah, it's great. The iPod Touch is essentially an iPhone minus the phone.
Right.
And so it does everything an iPhone will do. It runs all the apps. And as long as you're on Wi-Fi, it will even do things like the messages. I keep calling it messages. Because it used to be Messenger, and now it's messages.
Okay, so that's fine, because I rarely make calls anyway.
Yeah, it'd be perfect for you. Highly recommend it. Thank you, Pamela. And you should still get that big screen TV. Treat yourself. More of your calls coming up. Hour number 3 of the Tech Guy Show just around the corner. Our website, techguylabs.com. Great way to get into the chat room. Get answers to your questions. Techguylabs.com. Our show today brought to you by our phone system. Literally, quite literally. But the phone system we use for the office is Ring Central. And I want to tell you a little bit about RingCentral because it's a great place to go. If you are a business, you're setting up an office, I would say RingCentral is a very, very good choice. Eliminate the PBX, eliminate the complexity, and get so many features you can't get from a PBX in the basement. It's a cloud-based phone system. All-inclusive, as little as $20 per user per month, and that includes long distance anywhere in the U.S. and Canada. Check the pricing and you can see all the features. It includes lots of other great stuff. You get unlimited internet fax. So faxes come to your mailbox. You can also send faxes. I do it all the time. You get an auto receptionist dial by name directory. We use that. Very simple to set up your call queues. Now they've got business SMS, which is very cool. You can send text and receive text messages from your smartphone with the RingCentral app. It looks like it's coming from the business number, our 800 number, even though you're using your smartphone. I got to get you set up with that, Heather. I saw you making a phone call with your smartphone. You shouldn't be paying for that. We pay for that. You just put the rings, download the RingCentral app on your iPhone. They have I'll set you up. We'll get you your account on there. RingCentral is an amazing system. So simple, too. When we get a new employee, we just plug in a phone and it's good to go. No startup cost, no PBX hardware to install or maintain. Customize your call handling 100%. Get your voicemails and your email, your faxes and your email, or on your smartphone. If you use Salesforce, we don't use Salesforce. We might have to start using it just because of this. You can do your CRM from within a call. You can take notes, keep track of this. It's all built in. I think you're going to like it. I want you to try RingCentral right now. 30-day risk-free trial and a special offer just for our listeners. When you buy one desk phone, you'll get a second phone free up to 20 phones. 800-543-9980. 800-543-9980 or visit ringcentral.com and use the promo code TWIT. Ringcentral.com. You're going to love it. Well, hey, how are you today? Leo Laporte here, the tech guy, hour number 3 of the Tech Guy program. 8888 Ask Leo, that's the phone number, 888-827-5536. Toll free from anywhere in the U.S. of A, outside the U.S. Well, you just use that Skype there, that Skype thing, and call me. I'll take your call. Actually, Heather will take your call and get you on the air. Heather H-Bomb, B-A-L-M. it's H-B-A-L-M on the Twitter, if people want to follow you. Yes?
Yeah. Oh, that's correct. Sorry.
She's nodding. It is the radio. How many years have you worked in radio?
I'm just going, wow, he really just gave out my Twitter handle on the air.
Oh, you don't? Fine. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, it's fine.
Is it private?
No. Not now.
Not anymore.
Rewind the tape. No, a lot of people started following me within the last 3 weeks because of this show, and I'm happy.
Well, that's do you say anything of interest?
You're right, I don't.
No, me neither.
I'm more of a retweeter, you know, Stephen Colbert.
Yeah. Well, that's a good thing.
John Fugelson.
Yeah, that's a good. I don't retweet. I don't tweet because every time I go, I go to Twitter and it's just people saying mean things to me, so I gave up.
Ew.
I know. It's the new place for drive-by trolling, we call it. You know, a troll
really?
Is like the guy who's under the bridge going, "Hey, you smell." So we got trolls. We've always had trolls. That's just the way it is on the internet. But wow. Twitter's become the place now because you could just leave a 140-character insult and just move on.
Huh. I'm sorry to hear that. It seems like most people
say
are
nice
up
things.
Front about who they are and what they represent.
Say nice things to H-Bomb.
Okay.
She's nice. Who should I ask on the air here?
Oh, boy, I'm having problems with this, but let's do Monty in Jersey.
You're having problems? And you still want me
just
to put them on?
It was tough for me to choose between all the
people. Oh, well, they're
so
all great. We'll get to all.
Yeah.
We'll get to everybody on the line, I promise. Let's start with Monty, though. Thank you, Heather. Hey, Monty, Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hey, Leo, I've been a big fan since Screensavers with Patrick Norton. How you doing?
Thank you. We're doing great. Yeah, we've always had a great following. And did you see us when we were in Toms River, New Jersey?
No, unfortunately, yeah. I'm Northwest.
Patrick's a Jersey boy.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Long Beach, is it Long Beach Island, LBI?
Long Beach Island, yeah. Long Beach Island is got hit pretty hard with the Hurricane Sandy.
I know.
Yeah, it's
tough. What can I do for you?
Well, I have an HTC Thunderbolt on Verizon. Okay. I've had it for, I guess, a couple of years, and it was great. I mean, I could do a lot of things with it. I could use my tracks, stream music, have navigation going, no problem. You know, make a phone call, you know, press the button, immediately could be connected. And I was putting off the Verizon updates for the longest time. And finally, one day, I guess they hit me when I thought it was hitting the snooze button in the morning. and I hit okay.
Huh.
So I got the three is gone, and I went to four. I guess ICS.
Yeah, sandwich. Which it should be a lot better.
Oh, no, it's terrible.
Broke everything, nope. Huh?
The only thing that's better is it boots faster. Other than that, everything is slow.
Really? Now, have they Ice Cream Sandwich, admittedly, wasn't the best version of Android ever. Probably better than 3, but the 4.1 Jelly Bean is much, much faster. Have they not offered you an upgrade to Jelly Bean yet?
Well, here's the thing. I mean, I was back and forth with HTC, back and forth with Verizon. I went.
It's really Verizon, by the way, not HTC.
Well, yeah. No, I know, but. At the point, I figured, you know what, maybe it's an issue with the phone. I did 4 factory resets, full resets, including reformatting the SD card. No luck.
I mean, with you, by the way. I've done the same thing. And it could be a problem with the phone. It could be that phone is not ideal for that operating system. Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm figuring in. But the one guy in the Verizon store said it's maybe possible to root it. And then maybe
that's right.
Push 3 onto it. I'm not.
No, you could push. No, you could go right up to 4.2.2.
Oh, well,
and I would. I would. Yeah. What is the model you said?
It's an HTC Thunderbolt.
Thunderbolt.
Yeah.
So what you do is, here's what you do, and you know this is probably worth doing on this phone.
Okay.
The older phones often are the best candidates for putting a new firmware on because it's been around long enough that they've got the bugs worked out of the firmware. I have newer phones, and a lot of times you use the new firmware, and there's bugs because the developers are, you know, they're still working it out. Mm-hmm. So go to xdadevelopers.com. That is,
I'll read this in the show notes.
Yeah, we'll put it in the show notes. It is the site for people who are hacking and messing with smartphones. And what you'll do is you'll find your device on the forum. So you type HTC Thunderbolt right on the front page there. And they'll show you how to. There's 2 steps to doing this. First, to root it, which means. And by the way, virtually all Android phones are rootable. It's part of the Android ethos that you should be able to root it. That means give you. All that means is it's going to give you full access to the device. So that if you want to modify the firmware, you can. Now, once you've rooted it, and usually it's a single step to root it, it's usually pretty easy, then you're going to install a program. This makes it very easy. It's in the Play Store called Clockwork Mod.
Okay.
Clockwork Mod, there's a paid version and a free version. You don't need the paid version, although it's worth a couple of bucks to get the paid version. Clockwork Mod will do 2 things. First of all, it'll replace the bootloader with their own bootloaders. It makes it easy to modify the system. And then it will put on there, it'll give you a chance to back up your ROM. So what you first thing you do is you back up your current setup. Wish you could have done that with 3, then you could just go backwards.
Right.
But unfortunately, this isn't something that typically the Verizon or HTC offers you. So back up your current ROM, and then go through the Cyanogen Mods, Cyanogen Mods, these are the best mods, and look at CM10. You can either go with the stable build or the nightly build. The nightly builds have, I would go with the stable build for a phone that's been around for a while. Once you put that on, you'll be using the latest version of Android, and I bet you it'll be faster. Jelly Bean is considerably faster.
Oh, well, that's good to know.
Yeah, yeah.
It got to the point where I was on a motorcycle. I'd be using MyTrack.
MyTrack is great. Yeah. It tracks your progress and keeps a map.
Oh,
yeah.
Great. Streaming music on Google Play. I was far away, I had navigation going.
Well, here's one other thing about rooting it. You can get the original ROM from that phone if you want. You could go back.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, sure. They're all available.
Oh, well,
so,
that's cool.
So once you root it, you can do anything you want.
Oh, I can go forward, backward, or whatever.
Forward, backward, sideways.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, I mean, this is the advantage of Android. You got to be kind of geeky to do this, but
I'm a half a geek.
I think you got what it takes.
Yeah.
I don't think there's gonna be any trouble at all. And I even do this with the newer phones. I just rooted and modified the HTC One. It's well worth playing with. The Thunderbolt is very easy to do. The bootloader is unlocked. I don't think you're having any trouble. HTC is pretty good about allowing people to do this. They unlock all the bootloaders.
That's cool. Of course, the only other option would be go to a Galaxy 4 or something like that.
Well, at this point, you might want to consider it, or even you can go cheaply, probably free, Galaxy S3, which is an excellent phone.
Yeah. Well, I figured I'd give this a shot. I figured what the hell.
Now's the time to do it. Exactly.
Yeah, I own the phone, basically.
Yeah, and you can get a free upgrade. I think you'd probably get a free upgrade to a Galaxy. I would absolutely go with a Galaxy S3, maybe an HTC DNA. That's a very good. The newer HTCs are very good as well. Great battery life. I stay away from the Motorolas right now. Are not very good. LG has some good ones out there. Yeah, you get a new phone, but root this first and see. Sometimes just changing the firmware, fixing the software will do it. You will put all that information on how to root your phone. James DeRuvo will write it down and put it on our website, techguylabs.com. And then what we do, Josh Windisch from my office will go back through it. He'll add the audio and the video of the show. And you can add your comments, too. So if you've got some ideas for him, please let us know. Leo Laporte, the Tech Guy. Great music. Nathan, you have ascended to the title of musical director.
Woohoo!
Woohoo! Don't do me like that. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, 8888 Ask Leo. That's the phone number if you want to call and ask a question. Our website, techguylabs.com, will have everything I talk about after the fact so you can refer back to it. You don't have to take notes. We do it for you. Jerry in Big Bear Lake, you're next. Hi, Jerry. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Leo, how are you doing today?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing well. Hey, real quick, Google Glass, cool or creepy?
Yes, that's the question of the day. You say what?
I'm going to say it's cool unless my doctor walks in for my proctology exam and he's wearing it.
Yes, we've got lots of pictures, and we'll be sharing those on our Google Plus page. With all of our other patients. Yeah, I mean, you...
Also, real quick.
We have a Google Glass in the in-house. I paid for it, $1,500. But I have a new father on our staff, Jason Howell, just had a baby about 2 weeks ago. And I think the best use of Google Glass is for parents of new children, because the babies look at mom and dad and they have this expression because they're looking at the most wonderful thing in the world. And with glass, there's no camera in between you and the baby. It's just a little thing on your head. And I've seen such great baby pictures. And Jason is using it right now. I hope to get great baby pictures.
I've got 2 3-year-old girls, and I agree with you. I wish I had one for that.
Yeah, it's right now. It's limited in use. It's basically a camera, and that's it.
Yep.
Anyway, what can I do for you?
Geeky camera.
Yeah,
exactly. The other thing too, real quick, you had a couple callers ago about your kids and getting onto the iPad. My kids at 2.5 were. Getting onto their iPad, going on just like yours, getting onto Netflix and starting it themselves completely without any help. 2.5.
2.5. And really, that's a testament, I think, to what Apple has done. That's the touch interface. It's intuitive. If a 2.5-year-old, not barely verbal 2.5-year-old could figure it out and go, kids can kind of figure out mice. They're never, they're not going to figure out keyboards till they're literate. But they can do touch.
They love pictures. Yeah, anything with pictures, they love it.
So, by the way, our birthday boy in here has how old are your kids? 3 and 5. And he uses this case. This is from Spec. It's called the Eye Guy. It looks like a Gumby. It's got arms and legs, and it's a stand as well as a protector. And I think this. Do you have a case? Do you use a case, Jerry, for your 3-year-old, 2.5-year-old?
No, we do have the stock Apple case that came out of when I bought it. It's
really?
The original.
And she's gentle with it?
Well, not nearly enough.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I do need a better case, but we can put this out.
My big concern would be mostly the kid. If the glass broke, they could cut themselves. So
yeah,
I like this Gumby. I really like this Gumby thing. Spec, $39.95, specproducts.com. The Eye Guy. It's cute. It's really cute. So, good. That's good to know. So, what can I do for you?
My question is this. I am starting to make some instructional videos on installing home automation products and I want to put them on YouTube.
Neat.
And I am a Google guy, so I have an Android. I just bought a eye stabilizer mount for my camera on a tripod.
Of course, you got to have that.
My problem is, my problem is I need to get the audio. I'm going to be up in attics on ladders doing, installing these things while I do the video. So I wanted the audio to come through my Bluetooth headset and go to the phone versus the phone recording the audio from the phone.
Yeah, but what you'll find, the problem with that, even if you can do that, is that the Bluetooth profile that you're using, the earpiece profile, is very low quality because they figured, they'll only be using it for phones. So you'll sound like you're on a phone.
You'll sound like this.
So I'm not sure that's the ideal way to do it. What we want, I hate for you to spend a lot of money on a wireless system, but anything designed to be a wireless mic would do a much better job than a Bluetooth. Let me think about this.
Okay.
Let me think about
this. Some type of lapel recorder or microphone?
Yeah. One thing you could do is have a little recorder on you. Probably the cheapest thing to do. And then you're doing this in the phone. You don't want to ever take it off and put it on a computer, right?
No. I'll be editing the videos on the computer.
Oh, all right. Because then you could record the audio tracks separately and just match them up, in the movie editor.
Yeah, but that seems like a lot of hassle to me. I'm not a big video editor,
It's not hard, but all right, that would give you the best quality because then you wouldn't have to go wireless at all. You'd have a mic on you with a little recorder on you, and then you'd have a wave that you would then match up to the video. Let's see. Here we go. Let's find a wireless system. Somebody in the chat room has a wireless Audio Technica system. We've had bad experiences with these, but unless you're in a very noisy RF environment, these would probably be all right. It's $119. It's a wireless microphone system from Audio Technica. $120 on Amazon. I'll put a link on the show notes for that. We use more expensive stuff, but I think this would work all right. You're what, 10, 15?
So that'll record the audio separately?
No, it'll record it onto the phone. You can then input into the phone.
Okay, is that Bluetooth, or what does that work with?
It's RF. It's VHF.
Okay.
Yeah, better than Bluetooth. Bluetooth is not going to give you good results for audio.
So would I need a special app to record with that different audio?
No. No, if you plug it in... let me think about this. On the iPhone, if you plug it into the headphone jack, it works as a microphone. I'm not sure on the on Android phones how that works.
Oh, here's Android.
Here's a good thing. This is from Rode, which makes some great podcast mics. It's called the Smart Lav. A lavalier is a lapel mic, L-A-V. And this is smartlav.com. It's a professional-grade wearable microphone designed, but see, now it's wired. And this is a problem, is you can't do this audio recording and video at the same time. So this is kind of cool. This is $60, but it's just audio recording. So what we really want is a way to do wireless audio while you're recording video. I'm going to have to look it up. I think there's going to be a way that you could plug something into your USB jack that would work as a microphone. But I have to figure that out. I have to figure
that out. They got a Google Nexus. I don't know if that makes any difference. But.
Yeah. Well, it does because I think you'll end up – you're going to probably be using the to-go feature of that phone. I have to research this. I'm not sure, Jerry. The trick is how do we get the microphone – even if we have wireless, how do we get the microphone into the recording while you're recording video? I think the video is smart enough to take a microphone input if we could figure out where to put it.
Yeah, I spent at least an hour last night looking for an app that would separate the audio into Bluetooth.
Yeah,
and
Bluetooth is terrible sounding, so I can't recommend that. You really wouldn't sound very good. But the problem is not so much wireless, is the problem is how do we get it into the recording? Maybe just get a camcorder. it really would be a lot easier to do this with something designed specifically for the purpose. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Our show today brought to you by our friends at Gazelle, G-A-Z-E-L-L. You know about Gazelle, right? That's the place you go to sell your old stuff so you can get some new stuff. It's really no good just throw your old gadgets in a drawer, collect dust. That's cash. Right now, Gazelle's paying an extra $10 for iPhone 4Ss as people get ready for the next iPhone. Maybe you've got an old iPad. You're ready to unload. It's very easy. Let me just show you the process. You go to gazelle.com. They buy back iPhones, cell phones from a variety of manufacturers, including BlackBerry, HTC, LG, Motorola, Nokia, Samsung. They'll buy iPads and iPods, tablets from the big manufacturers. They even buy MacBooks and iMacs and Mac Pros and Mac Minis. But maybe you got, I know, here's a good one. Let's say you got an iPad, third generation, fifth generation's about to come out. Now, one of the nice things about these quotes is they're good for 30 days. So now's the time to get the quote, because I can guarantee you the price is not going up on any of these things. $270 for that iPad third generation. That's a good start. Maybe unload that iPhone 4S and get the new iPhone when it's out. The 30 days gives you a couple of things. $205 for that iPhone 4S. That's nice. It gives you time to get your data off, time to get the new device. They'll pay the postage. In fact, once you've got all of your gadgets piled up, they'll send you a box and pay the postage on anything worth more than a buck. You ship it to them. Their data experts will remove the data, check the condition and quality of the device. They'll even bump your offer up if the device is in better shape than you thought it was. I've heard of them doing it many times. And then they'll send you a check or a PayPal credit, or, and this is the pro tip, an Amazon gift card, because they bump those Amazon gift cards up by 5%. Really is a great deal, a great way to empty that drawer and get some cash in your pocket for the next big new thing. Gazelle.com, they've paid out $100 million to over 500,000 customers. Offers, as I said, good for 30 days. They'll wipe your data for free, and the payment is fast. Go to Gazelle, G-A-Z-E-L-L-E.com, and get cash for your used gadgets. Gazelle.com. So we did a little research, and thank you to the chat room, as always, smart folks. The Nexus 4, all the Nexus phones, and most modern Android phones have the same kind of headphone jack that the iPhone has. It's called a TRRS jack. It's got three rings around the tip ring sleeve plug, the mini plug. That extra ring is a microphone. So when you see those, of course they do that, because that's how you use the headsets, the wired headsets. They have mics on them. So this headphone jack can be used as a microphone. So for our last caller, that Rode Lav would actually be a very good choice. If Rode says, if you're actually, in the chat room said this too, if you're running video recording software and you've got the Rode Lav plugged in, the video recording software will get its audio from that. In fact, if you think about it, it will get its audio from any microphone plugged into the headphone jack. So there's probably a broad variety of microphones you could use. You plug them into the headphone jack. It's just the same as a wired headset, of course. That is going to give you a much better sound. You can get a long cord, right? You know, get a 30-foot cable. Use that Rode Lav or some other microphone, any microphone designed for a phone. And that'll do it. I got to order that, though. That looks pretty good. Rode makes good podcast mics, so I bet you they'd make a good choice. It's the Smart Lav, smartlav.com from Rode. And we'll put a link in the show notes to that. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, 8888 Ask Leo is the phone number. Our next caller is Jim in Los Angeles. Hi, Jim.
Hi, how are you, Leo?
I'm great. Welcome.
Hey, I've been trying to find a way for my kids to learn piano or guitar using a computer. And really, I'm trying to get out of paying for private lessons out of four kids.
I don't blame you. It's expensive.
And so I've got a Mac with GarageBand. I tried that, but it's not interesting enough for the kids.
Oh, too bad, because they're such great GarageBand. You know, and it's a shame Apple dropped the ball on this. But remember when they first announced GarageBand, they were going to have lessons by famous guitarists like Sammy Hagar and Peter Frampton, and they'd show you how to play their most famous song. And gosh, it really looked cool, and then nothing. Just nothing. They released a few more. They never released more after that. And I think that would have been very cool. Now, how old are your kids?
I've got four kids from 8, 15.
Okay.
8, 13, 15, and 16.
So you did try GarageBand, and they just said, this is boring, Dad?
Yeah, they're still not... not wanting to use it.
Yeah. Because really, I think that's a great way to do it. I don't know if there is anything better on the market than that. What do you think would get them to want to use it? I mean, you know, by the way, the same thing can happen and did happen with my kids and regular lessons. I'm bored. I'm not going to practice. I'm not going to go. So if the kids aren't really interested in, I guess if a kid's motivated, they'll use whatever comes to hand. And if they're not, then it doesn't matter what you throw at them.
Yeah, well, I guess they're complaining it's not interactive enough. I've got the MIDI hooked up on the piano, but I don't know. Try this.
Somebody in the chat room suggested it, virtualpiano.net, and apparently quite popular. It is a piano lessons online, and I don't know if they charge for it eventually, but... It looks like Enter the Virtual Piano. It's kind of flash-based. I'm going to have a screen on here. There's a little piano, but it's just a piano. Has it got lessons? Music sheets, change style, record keys, key assist off. It looks like it's just a virtual piano. I don't know if there's lessons on here. It's pretty good sound, though. How about Jamit? Here's another one from the chat room. Jamit.com, JAMMIT.com. Let's take a look at that. Find out what music's made of. You see that? I think there's quite a bit of it. This has guitar, bass, drums, keyboard, and vocals, and they've got lessons. They're pretty cheap, $3.99 each. You can learn from Heart, Dream Theater. Well, no, maybe not learn from them, but learn their songs. Billy Cobham, Billy Joel. That's kind of cool. Let's learn Honesty by Billy Joel. I don't know what we're going to learn here. It's a video. Here's a little bit of a sample. Just playing the... isolate the keyboard from the original. Oh, this is kind of like Music Minus One, where it takes the instrument that you want to learn out. And then you will add it. So there's the piano from the Billy Joel song. It's got transcriptions of the music, but is it lessons? My point, I guess, is that this is an amazing time to learn anything. It's all out there, but if you're not motivated to learn it, it doesn't matter. I know this from my own kids. You could learn college level anything these days. Yearofrock.com, LabashGuitarLessons.com. We'll put these all in the show notes. Mesomedia.com/apps. This is a guitar teaching app for the definitive, they say, guitar learning app. There's lots of these. This looks pretty cool. They want something more interactive. This might be a good choice. MISO Music. It's available for the iPhone and the iPad. You can. Oh, this is good. You could get a special pick that is designed just for the iPad screen. You hold it like a pick, but it's got a little stylus at the end of it. They also have instrument adapters, so you could use a real guitar and play along. There's got to be something out here. I don't know what the best is, but there's got to be something out there. And if the kids are at all interested, man, I would think that there'd be something for them. I'll tell you what. Here's what we'll do, because I don't know what the best one is, Jim, and I don't know what the best one is for your kids, but we'll just put everything that the chat room has suggested on the website, techguylabs.com. Did you get that all, James? Have you been scribbling it all down? And then... We'll give you a chance to go there and comment. So if you all know a better program, Mac, PC, iPad, whatever it is, to learn music, let us know. I think it'd be pretty cool. Georgia, San Pedro, California. You're next. Hi, Georgia. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Well, hi, Leo.
Hi, Georgia.
I never thought I'd be talking to you, but thank you for taking my call.
Oh, miracle of miracles.
Yes. I have no technical problem, because even if I did, I probably wouldn't be able to explain it to you. But my situation is I am looking for a budget camcorder. I'm on to eBay and made several bids on several different ones, and but I'm still kind of in a puzzled on which would be the better.
Okay. So what's the budget?
Well, I'm looking for something that'll be around $100 on eBay. Okay. I know I can't get that retail, but.
And what are you recording video of?
I'm a grandma of 11 in my 80s, so this is just something that I thought I would enjoy doing. I do have a very good Canon digital camera, and I'm always taking pictures.
Well, and doesn't that shoot video?
It does a very short time, you know, maybe a minute or two. I'm not sure. But I prefer just getting a separate little camera that I can use just at family vacations. We get together for birthdays. That would be my limit. I'm not looking for something that, you know, for...
All right. Hang on the line, because we've got to take a break, and I'll come back and I'll give you some recommendations. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. We're talking to Georgia in San Pedro. She wants a camcorder for her 11 grandkids, but she's got a Canon point-and-shoot, which shoots video. Now, Georgia, this was a big category, the $100 camcorder. Remember the flip cam? Maybe you don't, but it was a little device. A lot of kids had them. I got one for my kids at somewhere gathering dust. And the reason that people stopped using them, in fact, that Flip went out of business, is they got sold to Cisco, and then Cisco killed it, is because everybody's got a camcorder already in their phone or their digital still camera.
Right. Well, maybe I could clarify it a little bit, because the three that I found, and you know, price wise and kind of seemed to me, and again, I'm not technical, so I'm not sure what each one offers, because you know, different numbers offer different things. But the three that I kind of am zeroing in on is the Panasonic HC V like Victor 100.
That's a nice camera.
That was on eBay. It's going around 70 to 100.
These are used, right?
No, these
brand
are
new.
They're not used. What they're, you know, the ad says new, but maybe an open package.
Open box, yeah. That's an excellent camera. Now, if anything goes wrong with it, you're not going to get it fixed. But
right, with that price, you know, I'm kind of just trying to playing with this thing.
I like the HVC 100, HCV
100. Okay, well, what about the JVC, it's EVERIO HM35.
Yeah, the Avarios were very popular as well. This was a very hot category 5 years ago that got killed by still cameras and phones.
Again, right.
Yeah, and both of these record to solid-state memory, little SD cards.
Yes,
so
right.
You'll need a computer. You have a computer?
Yes.
Okay. It's just like your Canon. You pull the SD card out, you put it in the computer.
Yeah. No, I do that all the time with my Canon, so yeah.
You're familiar with that, yeah.
Yeah, I'm familiar with that.
So you have the Panasonic, you have the JVC.
And then the Samsung HMX F like Frank 80. Now, those three all are, you know, they're being bid on, of course.
Very comparable.
I kind of thought that, but you don't have any leaning towards one over the other because of their background or their reputation?
I'm not crazy about the JVC, so I would either get the Panasonic. Actually, the Panasonic would be my favorite.
Okay.
I'm not crazy about the JVC, and the Samsung, also not great. You know, the Panasonic's the best of the three.
Okay. Well, that's what I needed, someone to kind of push me in the direction, you know. And I know, again, you know, we're talking minimum money. I mean, $100.
Right, which is why it's not fixable. Yeah. You know, nobody supports it anymore. But on the other hand, it will work. As long as it's not worn out, it'll work fine.
Well, according to if they're, you know, true to form as far as what they advertise, they all seem to.
One advantage these have is they zoom. You know, they have stabilization. They do stuff that your camera phone won't do, and in some cases they're better than your Canon. So I think this is a good choice.
Well, that's my question for you.
you'll be the one person with a camcorder in the audience.
Well, at my age, I think it's kind of fun to try something different.
Nothing wrong with that. No, I think the Panasonic would be your best bet, Georgia. If you can get that for $100, that's a nice camera.
Yeah, Like I said, I've been watching just, you know, people doing their bidding, and I haven't done this too often, but it's very interesting. You know, they wait till the last minute.
Oh, yeah, they snipe.
Yeah, their last
that's called product. Sniping, yeah, because they don't want to drive the price up till the very, very end.
Too soon, yeah.
Sneaky. So you got to snipe with them.
I'm trying.
Yeah. Good luck, Georgia.
All right. Thank you, Leo.
Thank you. Take care. I appreciate the call. Yeah, I mean, the camcorder market just, the bottom fell out of it, just like the MP3 player market, the standalone GPS market. And who killed them? The smartphone. Does it all. Maybe not quite as well, but does it all. The Panasonics are good. I've used those Panasonic cameras for a long time. They're very small, compact, lightweight. They record to an SD card. It was the last generation of camcorder. I mean, you could still buy them, but I don't know why you would, really. My recommendation for most people, just get a good still camera. Almost all of these record high-def video very nicely. Very, very nicely. Brian in Hollywood. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Brian.
Hello, Leo. How are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
I'm good. I'm confused and befuddled. I'm a PC guy, and I have a very old Samsung Eco, which was the ecologically friendly phone. And
good. You can just throw it out. That's excellent. It's recyclable. Yeah.
Family all has iPhones.
Okay.
And I'm looking to upgrade, but they're all. I'm a PC guy. They're all Mac. What do I do?
Who's your carrier? Because that will kind of limit what. Sprint.
And I'm looking at the Samsung S4. That's kind of interesting to me. But I don't know. The one thing I like about the iPhone is I like Siri. I like the ability.
Well, I would argue that Google's voice recognition is now better than Siri.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. Siri, unfortunately, you know, Siri has huge promise, but Google's just keeps improving what their Google voice search will do to the point where it actually does more than Siri will do. It's more reliable, more robust. I use it to dictate texts and messages all the time, mm-hmm. but I also use it to search. I can even tell my Google voice search, I can say, you know, send a text to my son, things like that. Very effective.
Excellent.
So the Galaxy S4 happens to be the phone I carry with me at all times. So that's my current choice. Now, you said you're a Windows user. You might consider Sprint has the Lumia, the Nokia Lumia 920 and the HTC 8X. Both are very nice Windows phones.
Okay.
Windows
operating system?
Yeah, it's Windows Phone 8. They don't have as many apps. There's 145,000 apps, that's all. But okay. What you will find is some apps that you might, well, you don't have many apps anyway, probably.
No.
If you use Instagram, there's no Instagram on Windows Phone. If you there's a few things that aren't there. So that's worth checking. But I think the Windows Phone is very elegant, very clean. And they've done it. And boy, the cameras on the Nokia are incredible. If a camera is important to you.
Okay.
It's as good as the iPhone 5, which is really the state of the art.
Okay. But between the Windows, the iPhone 5 and the Android, the Samsung.
It's really, 4. They're all good. It's about your personality. If you're somebody who likes to tweak and mess around, there's nothing like Android.
Okay.
It is completely customizable. By the way, Sprint also has the HTC One, which is another incredible phone. I mean, we're in a wonderful time. You have many great choices. Yeah. If you want a very simple phone that is kind of the industry standard that does everything you want, has the most apps, then the iPhone is certainly a good choice, especially since your other family members can help you, since they have an iPhone too. I happen to like Android because I'm a tweaker. I like to mess with stuff.
Yeah, I have that problem.
Yeah, well, then you might like it. I can spend hours just lying in bed changing the settings on this phone.
Yeah.
This Galaxy S4 has more settings than any phone in history.
And is the Windows somewhere in between in terms of...
Yeah, Windows is much cleaner, much more straightforward, very functional. If you live in the Windows universe, if you have Microsoft Office, it comes with Office, you know, mobile Office. If you have Live or Outlook Mail, it's really great for that. It's kind of naturally part of that ecosystem in a way that the iPhone and Android are not.
And in that universe, you said the
there's two choices. There's the Lumia 920 or the HTC 8X. 8X is a little lighter, but the 920 is a beautiful, beautiful device. So I would go to your Sprint store and look at them.
Great.
All right. I really appreciate it.
I love spending your money. I don't mind. Thanks for calling. And thank you for listening. We'll be back next week. Thanks, Heather. We'll see you next time. Leo Laporte, the Tech Guy. Well, that's it for the Tech Guy show for today. I'm Leo Laporte. Thank you so much for joining us. Don't forget, the Tech Guy is just the tip of the iceberg. We do nearly 30 shows now on the Twit Netcast Network, and you'll find them all at twit.tv. We talk about Windows and Windows Weekly, Macintosh and MacBreak Weekly, iPad and iPad Today. You get your daily dose of tech news from Tech News Today and our weekly roundtable show, This Week in Tech. It's all at twit.tv. And I'll be back next time with another great Tech Guy podcast. Thanks for joining me. See you next time.